Welcome to the Inner Side Radio Program. Tonight we're going to talk about my favorite community, a community that bases its identity on rational discourse, enlightened social mores, and educational pursuits. Academics, scientists, philosophers, who could imagine that lurking just beneath the surface of this intellectual veneer was a mosh pit of beta male chimpanzee behavior, ook ook and away, grabbing ass and slinging poop. Scandalous. So here to talk with us about sexual politics and gender civility, or lack thereof, in organizations that are otherwise committed to civility is the skeptic, Rebecca Watson.
Hello.
How are you?
That was quite the interesting description of our community.
Thank you.
A good one, though.
I said it without having to spit out my gum.
Well done.
Well, I'm familiar with your work on the Skeptic's Guide to the Universe podcast, which is free on iTunes.
Yes.
So what do y'all mean by skeptic in that context? Why do skeptics need a podcast? What do y'all talk about?
Well, on Skeptic's Guide to the Universe, we talk about science. We talk about good science, science news, and we also talk about bad science, pseudoscience, things that masquerade as science but aren't, as well as topics like superstition and occasionally pseudoscience in terms of religious pseudoscience every now and again. Basically, whenever anyone's making a claim that what they're doing is based in reality, we examine that claim. Some would say debunking, that's a word that some skeptics use. Other skeptics find that's a little too in your face. But that's certainly a word that can be applied, I think, to what we do when it comes to psychics, psychic powers, ghosts, aliens, things like that.
It's a great show. It's kind of a cross between Michio Kaku's Exploration and Mythbusters.
Yeah, that's a nice way to put it. I always thought of it as the answer to Coast to Coast, you know. And in fact, I think a lot of our listeners really enjoy listening to Coast to Coast, which, if you're not familiar with it, it's the late night paranormal radio show where they talk about all sorts of crazy ideas, and we're the skeptical answer to that. We discuss all the same fun topics, but we do it from a rational viewpoint.
Also, a lot of the latest things that have come up in science for the week.
Yeah, we cover a lot of science news and try to break it down and make it understandable for a lay audience.
But you also have a wonderful voice. It's a melodic counterpoint to those New York City novella tones of the co-host guys.
Thank you. Yeah.
You've also maintained a pretty high traffic blog, skeptic.org, for many years. And those discussions often are pretty much along the same topics, but often includes feminist issues.
Yeah. We tend to hit more religious issues as well, secular issues. But yeah, it's all from the viewpoint of a feminist viewpoint, you know. So we look at bad science that might particularly affect women, and we also talk about feminist issues from a skeptical perspective.
And you've been very busy lately.
Yeah. Oh, we're always busy. We're always stirring up something. So.
Well, I mean, yeah. with all the attacks on women's reproductive rights and so forth.
Yeah, that's been a big focus of mine for the past year and a half. Where, you know, I blog about it, and I also give talks around the country and also internationally, telling people what's going on in the U.S. with the religious rights war on women.
So anyway, there's a spirited debate going on right now, let's call it that, in the atheist, yeah, skeptic, agnostic, secular groups for about a year, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a never-ending fire at this point, but yes,
right.
it's about a year.
It's been interesting, and it's addressing gender roles and the sexualization of women in the community. And this debate was sparked by a pretty mild passing comment made by our guest.
I thought so.
And it's about an incident that has become known as, I like to call it, alligator, because it's more teeth.
Right. Well, that is a nice change of pace, because the term elevator gate gets, yeah, really grating when you've heard it for the millionth time. Right. But
so,
yeah.
So this is something that occurred at a convention where Rebecca was speaking. And if you would, could you begin by sharing the topic of your talk, because, and I want everybody to listen up because this is important.
Yeah, I spoke about what it's like to be a woman atheist online and the sort of attacks I get from fellow atheists, as well as the quote-unquote compliments from fellow atheists and skeptics, which ranges from, you know, on the attack side, it's rape threats mostly from people who disagree with me about this or that. And on the compliment side, you know, I get a lot of propositions, a lot of very graphic descriptions of what men would like to do to me. And I also, you know, in person, I would get touched in inappropriate ways and have to deal with, you know, things like that. And so basically, I just detailed all of that for the audience at this conference.
And then immediately afterwards, after you, just as these words were fresh from your mouth, you guys went out, had a few drinks. And then for the 10 millionth time, could you briefly...
Sure. Yeah, well, we went to the hotel bar, spent many hours discussing that topic and others, but mostly that topic of, you know, online harassment. And at the end of the evening, it was about 4 a.m, I excused myself. I said I was very tired. I was going to bed. So I walked to the elevator to go to my room. And as I got to the elevator, a man came running over and hopped on the elevator with me. And he had been in our crowd, but hadn't actually said much, if anything at all. And as the doors closed, he turned to me and he said, I'm sorry, but I find you very interesting. And I'm wondering if you'd like to come back to my hotel room for coffee. I politely declined and hopped off the elevator. And
let me stop right now, because I have a comment to this for all you guys listening out there.
Yeah.
For all you guys, a sentence that ends in, would you like to come up to my hotel room? That's not an opening line. That's not the first thing you say to somebody you never talk to. That's what you would think of as a closer, right?
Yeah, I think most people would think that, yes.
And I would also think that if you had any dignity whatsoever, that you would have plenty of cues and lots of evidence that the answer was going to be yes before you would ask that question.
Right, yeah. And that was my feeling, was that this was a really obvious situation that any rational person could look at and be like, okay, yeah, that's over the line.
Without a hint of irony.
So I did a YouTube video about my trip, during which I talked about how great everybody was and, right, you know, how I had a blast. But also, you know, this happened and I described it much the way I did. I just have. And I mentioned, you know, hey, guys, don't do that. Right. Don't wait till a woman is alone and in an enclosed space at 4 a.m. after she's spent 6 hours, you know, talking about all of the sexual harassment she gets. Don't choose that time to ask her to come back to your hotel room. And that unleashed the fury of the interwebs upon me for being a, you know, a feminazi.
Even lizards have mating rituals. Evolve, guys. Come on.
Yeah.
I didn't find anything surprising about what you said. It was just so unremarkable that it was a spark that lit something that was there. I mean, that's become totally obvious.
I've heard it compared to kicking over a rock and seeing all of the bugs. I think that's a pretty appropriate metaphor.
I wasn't really... didn't get that interested in it until you really followed it up on SGU when you said, yeah, but there's this whole email stuff that's going on now too. And I was kind of shocked by it. That's when I started saying, whoa.
That's one of the reasons why I started speaking out about it, because I would occasionally retweet something that someone would send to me that was over the line. And my followers on Twitter would be like, what the hell? You know? And I would just be like, oh no, that was just a random one I chose to retweet. I get these all the time. And people were so surprised. And I realized that, well, maybe people need to see that this is what I put up with. And if this is what I'm putting up with, then I bet there's plenty of other women out there who are quietly putting up with similar things.
I think that you're correct in assuming that if you're getting this kind of stuff, then a lot of other people might be getting it worse, because you don't come off as a prudish sort of shrinking violet. clutching her pearls on the fainting couch that people would normally mess with. Like, you seem like you would handle yourself. So other women and attendees and so forth are probably getting it worse.
Yeah, and it's funny, I get called prude a lot. People tell me that I'm a prude, that I have no sense of humor, that I'm trying to ban flirting. And it's just so funny because I feel like if you take the time to watch like one YouTube video that I've done or read one blog post, you'll realize that none of that is true. But, you know, that they're not letting the facts interfere with what they want to believe about me.
Maybe you're threatening what people would consider easy access to sex at conventions or something. The fantasy of that.
I'm guessing that these people aren't ever getting sex anywhere. And so they're probably interested in finding an excuse for why that might be happening. So maybe I'm the convenient excuse for them.
I know people who involve themselves in various sort of kinky sex conventions. So I could get a list and we could just post it for people who want to do that.
Yeah, well, and it's my understanding. I've never been to a kinky sex convention myself, but it's my understanding that the well-run ones actually still manage to set a tone of respect for women, of making women feel comfortable, of keeping them from being preyed upon by guys. You know, so even those conventions that are focused on people having sex have standards in place to protect members.
So the elephant in the room is a professor, right?
Are you calling PZ Myers fat? Is that
just like conservative.
Oh, no, who's that? Man. Who's that? Do you have a PZ Myers at your house?
Yeah, I keep PZ Myers on every phone call, actually, just in case.
I'm her bodyguard.
It's my bulldog.
Cool. How you doing, PZ? Now, PZ has a blog called Pharyngula that most people are familiar with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm doing fine.
That was probably the first outrage that we heard from all the guys out there.
Yeah, because, you know, I kind of suspected on a blog like Skeptic, you're going to have more women who are fully in agreement with what Rebecca says.
Right.
And on Pharyngula, we've got, I confess, we've got a lot of Neanderthal males there. And we've got a lot of opponents who like to come on and troll the place. So saying anything on my blog will immediately draw in opposition.
And in defense of not only your blog, but the entire community, is that we are people who don't like to just cop to the easy answer or whatever. We like to break everything down and beat it to death.
A good argument. Right. It's always entertaining.
Right. That's what we do. I guess your biggest hit was from the other professor I was talking about.
Dawkins, you mean?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You need to be clear with these things. We have a lot of professors floating around. Well, Dawkins posted on PZ's blog post, actually. It was on Pharyngula that he posted that. And and that sort of launched it into the stratosphere at that point. Dawkins essentially said that I should basically stop complaining because women in Islamic countries have it much worse. Yes. Female genital mutilation and things like that. What am I complaining about? And it surprised a lot of people because that's an obviously fallacious argument, you know, and it could be made about literally anything. What are you doing saving animals at the animal shelter? Why aren't you in Africa saving children and building huts? There's always a bigger problem out there that somebody could be working on, and you should never use those bigger problems as a way to dismiss the myriad other problems we should constantly be working on. So, just the fact that Dawkins had weighed in, and the fact they weighed in with something so absurd, I think, sort of took the discussion to a new low, and got a lot of frothing anger on pretty much every side of the issue,
and jaw dropping too, because we're talking about somebody who has devoted his entire life to logical arguments, and here he is with just a load of logical fallacies, and it's ridiculous. It's something you would expect to hear from Ken Ham. It was so crazy.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of
unintended.
People
funny.
A lot of people we're just disappointed, you know, in that way, like a parent with a child who's acted badly. I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed. You know, I thought better. Yeah. But I think it's a good illustration of a few things. One is that there is no atheistic pope, you know, and there is no infallible spokesperson for our community.
I'm probably devoted to rationalism till you step on my dong. And then it's all out the window.
It's just there's a lot of unexamined privilege in our mostly white, mostly male, mostly upper middle class. He actually compared it to someone getting in an elevator with him chewing bubble gum. Apparently, he really hates bubble gum. I thought that comment illustrated quite well how ignorant he is of the perspective of women.
Also, the proper analogy would be a 6'4" guy dressed in leather with buttless chaps on, trying to pick him up while chewing gum in an elevator.
Right.
That's the analogy.
What's that saying? Something about homophobia is the fear that gay men will start treating straight men the way straight men treat women.
I asked for it. You should see how I dress.
You know, on the plus side, I'll say that, you know, not everybody has that same unexamined privilege. You know, PZ, I think, is a really good example of someone who fits into the traditional mold of, you know,
old white guy.
Okay, I wasn't going to say it, but, you know, PZ still does a really good job of acknowledging other experiences and other perspectives.
It does not take a PZ Myers to actually see your point of view. I think your point of view is fairly obvious.
No, but it helps.
But you know, I think there's another phenomenon at play here, and that is that there's a continuum, of course, that what you've got is you've got the jerks who are writing rape threats to Rebecca in email. And most of the men in this movement would not have anything to do with that. They think it's horrible. They agree with Rebecca. That's terrible. But what happens is they sit there and they say, oh, well, I'm not like that. But then they have this gigantic blind spot and say, well, okay, then since I'm not like that, sexism is not a problem.
Right.
And they're wrong. You know, that's, they've got all these unconscious attitudes about how to treat women, about the importance of women's issues to the movement, the importance of women in the movement. And they don't examine those. They don't think about those. They don't question them. But then they're not actively hostile against women. They just think, oh, the problems are all solved.
They think they're being helpful by acknowledging that rape threats are wrong. I ignored them for, 6 years? And they only grew and grew and grew and got worse and worse and worse. And I only started to feel better about them when I started to share them with others and, you know, find that sort of comfort in knowing that other people were going through similar things and other people stepping in to help deal with this torrent of crap that I was getting. You know, there are people out there who, as PZ says, they're not the ones who are making the violent threats and whatnot, but they are comfortable doing nothing to really combat the problem.
So are we looking at some sort of improper balance of hormones and psychology? What do you?
I'm the biologist here. And I'll tell you, it's not hormonal. Okay, we all have hormones. Every single human being on the planet, men and women alike, have hormones that increase sex drives and things like this. But you and everyone else will interact with 99.9999% of the people on the planet and never have sex with them, right, and never even try to have sex with them. You can control these things. I don't care how horny frat boy-like you are, that it's a cultural thing that says it is okay for men to cut loose and charge up to women and try to find out what their cup size is. That's not okay. That's what we have to get across, is that those kinds of behaviors, those learned behaviors, are not right.
I've had men come up to me after one of my talks and say, I hadn't even considered that, and I hadn't really considered the way you might feel. You know, I just want to apologize because I saw you yesterday and I ran up to you and I gave you a big hug and I should have asked you first. And the thing is, like, that's really cool, because what they did, you know, running up to me and giving me a big hug is a minor boundary crossing. But the fact that they listened to what I said and then reflected back on their own behavior, like, that's really awesome. And I always try to reassure them. I'm like, you are one of the good ones. The online response, it does oftentimes seem like a torrent of negativity, but there is still a huge percentage of people, even online, who email me and say, you know, thank you for speaking about this. I never considered it before, but now I get it.
And I'm really glad that you haven't shrunk away from this, because when people started to make a big deal out of it, you could have just backed off and said, eh, forget it. But I guess the bigger that it got, you said, okay, you want to talk about it? Okay, let's go.
I've never been one to shy away from a fight. But, you know, even for me, the last year, it was getting really difficult to deal with all of that negativity. But, you know, PZ and I were just in Germany a few weeks ago, and Taslima Nazreen was also there. She's this fantastic feminist and free thinker. She did a book signing where a bunch of Muslim men showed up and started like throwing chairs, trying to get at her. And she does not care. She's going to keep talking until she loses her voice, and then she'll just write more. And it really gave me some perspective. You know, I'm certainly not ready to back down yet.
I think another aspect of it, too, is that both of us really care about the skeptic and atheist movements, and we want them to get better.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that means we have to stick it and keep fighting for it and try to bring a little bit more tolerance and equality to the movement. And we don't do that by retiring from the fray.
You know, we're talking about conventions and email, and I don't think that there's anything in particularly weird going on in our community that this is, I'm sure, everywhere.
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, there was a great example just recently. This woman writes a blog called feministfrequency.com, where she's writing about the problem of sexism in video games and gaming culture, and it's worse there. It's terrible. so it's not something that's unique to atheist skeptic communities. It is a problem of Western sexist patriarchal culture overall.
You know, in America right now, we have a ton of women who are starting to realize that the church does not have their best interests in mind. The church is, in fact, actively working against them and their bodies. And so they're, you know, I'm not saying that this is going to cause them to suddenly become atheists, but they are probably going to be looking for a community of people who do have their best interests in mind. And why shouldn't it be us? Why shouldn't it be those of us who are promoting rationality, who are fighting against what the church is doing in the U.S.? I think it can be.
In the case of the growing atheist movement, we don't want to put up those kinds of pressures that force people to leave the movement. And that's exactly what we're doing when we do this nonsense about, you know, belittling women for speaking up.
This particular issue, as I was watching it unfold, it kind of reminded me of liberals hanging around saying, well, I wish more black people would join our movement because I'd like to ask somebody how to pick a good watermelon at Whole Foods.
Yeah. You know, that's not even a hypothetical, because our movement also is, you know, repelling people of color, and for the very same reasons, for unexamined systemic racism, which is identical to the unexamined systemic sexism that we find in the same movement. And it's like, no, we don't get more women involved so you can get your dick wet. You know, we get more women involved because a diversity of voices adds to our movement. It makes it more relevant. It helps us increase the number of people we're getting involved in what we're talking about. And I think if you're truly passionate about what we claim to be passionate about, which is science education, you know, skepticism in everyday life, you know, throwing off the shackles of religious authority, things like that. If you really care about those things, then you care about seeing people of every walk of life get into the same things that we're into. And yeah, in order to do that, you need to stop worrying about, you know, how you're going to get a date at the next conference. Like, that's so far down on our to-do list.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, I think the majority of the people in this movement who are having the problem because they have a blind spot and they're not actively malicious. And when you point things out to them, as Rebecca has done, personally, they'll often feel kind of embarrassed and ashamed and stop doing it.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's increasing the social cost of sexism to the point where it's no longer in that person's self-interest to make that joke. And I do think that we're doing it bit by bit. One person speaks out and 10 others see that it's okay to speak out. And eventually we get a chorus of people speaking out. I think it's going to snowball to the point where there's so many of us speaking out that the misogynists can't keep up. They can't send out rape threats fast enough. I think at that point, those women are going to come around and they're going to be like, okay, now it's a safe time for me to speak out.
Yes, we have to grow to a certain critical mass. And then I think then the revolution happens and everything's good, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, then we'll start harvesting semen and then installing the gynocracy.
Okay.
I'm thinking about getting a little sculpted vagina to hang from the back of my pickup truck just to be different.
Yeah, that's all right. Maybe a pair of fallopian tubes.
Yeah, there you go. But anyway, I think what you're doing is working. You definitely got everybody talking. Consciousness is being raised. That's the point. And, you know, I think it's heading in the right direction. So good job.
Thanks.
And you are Skeptic from Skeptic.org and Skeptic's Guide to the Universe.
It's every week, like clockwork.
Yeah, don't miss them. They're great.
Religiously.
PZ, mm-hmm. You're from Ferengula. What do you got? You guys have anything to say in closing? I was going to say, if you do have to smack somebody upside of the head, it's a lot easier if they have a blind side, because, I mean, the spot you're talking about. You don't
That's
see
true.
It coming, yeah.
And I will point out that last year at SkepticCon, one of the volunteers was touched inappropriately by a man who showed up at the party. And within seconds, one of the other skeptics, Bug Girl, you do not mess with Bug Girl. She she had the guy by the scruff of the neck, I think. And we also had several men who immediately volunteered to help this man find his way out.
Okay, we just need Bug Girl everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
one thing, you know, as I was following this, what shocked me, well, a lot of it shocked me, especially when you were talking about the emails, but the first thing that came to my mind was, because my past is a little coarse, and I was thinking, you'd never get away with this at a biker rally. There's right. No way. You get the crap beat out of you.
Yeah, it's been my experience that bikers are cool people, so I think you're probably right. Yeah.
Thanks for stopping by. Hardly a week goes by that you're not on KPFT.
Yeah, I know. This is becoming a regular gig for me. Yeah. I like it. You guys are cool.
You were just on Jeff Berg's show last week.
Oh, clearly you like her better than me. Now I'm hurt.
No comment from Scooter. You notice.
But I think we behaved ourselves. Did we do okay?
It was good.
Okay. See y'all later.
All right. Thanks, Scooter.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Bye.
That was Rebecca Watson, the Skeptic. Her blog is skeptic.org, and she's on the Skeptic's Guide to the Universe podcast with Stephen Novella, available on iTunes for free. Check her out. Also, PZ Myers from the world-infamous Ferengula blog. Put PZ in your search engine. You can't miss it. You've been listening to the Inner Side radio program, a leisure service of the Pacifica Foundation on the Gulf Coast in Houston, Texas. Part 2 of this program with Tracy Harris and women from the Houston Atheists can be found at the Inner Side Archives. Simply Google The Inner Side. It's program number 356. My name is Scooter, and I'll see y'all next week. I ride my elevator through the shafts of your heart. When you climb over, baby, there's no getting off. I'm a silent operator, won't you please take my hand? I'm super light, I'm the elevator man.